those of the host and guests, and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that... This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guest. And this evening, our guest is Thomas Horn, is a minister for many, many years. But now he is a publisher, and he publishes one of the most interesting websites up there, Raiders website. If you haven't been there, you should. He publishes a number of books, and we've interviewed a number of his authors. But we're going to be talking with him tonight about his latest book, Nephilim Stargates, the Year 2012 and the Return of the Watchers. Now, what is a Stargate? Why, a Stargate is the vehicle by which you can go to another dimension. And, of course, to a lot of people that sounds like crazy talk, and yet, if you, of course, read the writings of people like Manly P. Hall, who was a Satanist, who actually had unlimited funds given during the Depression to go throughout the world and to track down all of the information on esoteric things, that he established a philosophical research foundation in Southern California, and you'll actually learn a lot about that on the DVD that we carry called Riddles in Stone. But Manly P. Hall certainly looked into the background of the world history, talked about the phoenix, and the phoenix, of course, was that mythological bird that would reconstitute itself, would be destroyed, burned, and then would rise again from the ashes. And of course that was what many people felt that America would be. America would be like the Phoenix, or like lost Atlantis. It would be reconstituted here and would become the new Atlantis, and there really are people who believe this. And of course many of these people are deeply involved in the occult today. And the trouble is that, of course, many of these people have great wealth and great power and great prestige, and because they control the media, most people have no idea what's going on, or the fact that when the Great Seal of the United States was originally made, it was not an eagle that was on the front of it, it was a phoenix. And only through a series of variations, and gradually did they change the picture there from the bird being a phoenix to it becoming an American eagle. Well, Tom, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Well, Dr. Montes, thank you for having me on your show again. You know how much I enjoy the opportunity of visiting with you anytime I can and your different audiences. It's always a privilege.
Well, why don't you just give us a little of the background of this whole idea of the Nephilim, Stargates? These things are so completely foreign to the average American who does not understand the true nature of the battle in which we're engaged today.
Well, of course, you know, the whole term Stargates means different things to different people. First of all, I want people to understand that I'm a researcher, I'm not a scientist, and so my ability to dialogue about the possibilities of such things as like quantum physics or even Einsteinian physics is something that's very, very limited. When this whole term became well known, you know, there was a whole conversation about wormholes or Stargates. And by the way, it's my understanding now that recent improvements in our knowledge of general relativity is causing some people to believe that the so-called Stargate manipulators, the intelligence as the aliens,
Hold on, we'll be right back. Tom, go ahead, pick up the story.
Well, yeah, that these beings could be manipulating some kind of wormhole or Stargate technology, and that that's why they seem to appear and disappear through slits in the fabric of time, because they're using traversable wormholes. It was Alan Holt who first defined what was called the field reconnaissance space-time tunneling back in 1979, but that's today what's more commonly called wormholes or Stargates. And Stargates, of course, is the term that I use when applying that to the title of my book. It's just a theory that there are hyperspace tunnels that could connect either remote regions of the universe or different dimensions around us, or maybe even different moments in time. And so people who believe in UFOs and things like that think that these things could hypothetically be traveling through these space-time tunnels, which has been popularized by the Star Trek series and some of those series on television, that these things are coming from far distances to the Earth in either matters of seconds or maybe even at speeds greater than sight and so on. But Stargates could also mean something entirely different. It could mean something more of a metaphysical nature, and anybody who's read my books understands that I see even some of what's going on with biotechnology today as opening a gateway, opening a pathway that was opened once before, which allowed beings to leave their plane of existence and to extend themselves into our reality, such as is referred to in the books of Genesis, or the book of Genesis. And you and I, we've had wonderful long conversations about what was going on in Genesis and some of the other supporting ancient documents that tell the story about these super intelligences called the Watchers, who came down, blended animal and human DNA, and used a new creation to extend themselves into our reality, which brought about, of course, judgment from God.
You're speaking now of, were these the Nephilim, or were these super the Nephilim?
Talking about the Nephilim. And the important thing here now is to leap forward into the present day, and that's what I try to do with my books, and look at what is happening. I mean, the most important news this week, in my opinion, which we reported at Raiders News Network, and which, of course, came as no surprise and was even predicted, I believe, by me and you just a week or two ago, was this news out of the United Kingdom today that British scientists are likely to get the green light starting tomorrow, September 5, 2007, to begin creating human-animal embryos. Now, imagine that. I mean, this stuff can happen in private laboratories, but we're talking about a government sanction.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Tom Horn is our guest this evening. We're going to be talking about his book, Nephilim Stargates. And, of course, what's so fascinating about this is that Tom is saying that just this last week, British scientists have been given permission now, starting, any time in government laboratories to begin producing a hybrid, a cross between animal and human beings. Now, think of the implications of this, and remember back to the book of Genesis when, of course, God was so displeased because, of course, we see there the watchers or the fallen angels, or call them what you will. I mean, certainly having their way with women and creating a new race of beings called the Nephilim. And this so displeased God that he created a great flood and destroyed all of humanity, all of civilization. Certainly those within the occult today, many of them believe that was the Noetic flood was what destroyed ancient Atlantis, that this was a wonderful, wonderful society destroyed by a flood. And of course, Christians know that whatever existed before the flood was totally evil, and that mankind, of course, and these people, beings from another dimension. And certainly the Bible tells us over and over that they're beings from another dimension, the people who are mediums, the clairvoyants, the people certainly who can bridge this gap between the world we live in and the other dimension. And remember, of course, Sidney Saul went to see the medium, the Witch of Endor, as it were, and was able to conjure up the ghost of Samuel. And, of course, we know our Lord ran into the demoniac, who was actually infected with all sorts of spirit beings, evil spirit beings, that identify themselves as legion. Well, you know, if you believe the Bible, then you believe in the supernatural. I mean, there's no way you can explain what we have learned from the Bible unless there is a supernatural dimension. And there's a good supernatural dimension and an evil supernatural dimension. And as we see what's unfolding in the world today, I think we have to, you know, say, you know, is God really pleased with what mankind is doing today? So you pick up the story there.
I mean, this was the news that was all over the headlines today, that in the United Kingdom today, the British scientists are now, starting tomorrow, most likely going to be given permission to start creating these human-animal embryos. And you and I have talked at length before about the great sin of the Watchers that led to the flood that you're talking about, how that the record is that they took human DNA and animal DNA and they created something entirely new, crossed over the species barrier, took the form of flesh, if you will, started having offspring called Nephilim, and this so brought about the judgment of God because of the corruption to DNA in the human species that happened as a result of intermarriage. But now, we know that in privately funded laboratories, you know, things like cloning and some of this research has been going on, the blending of human-animal, an animal-human chimeric creation for the purposes of creating stem cells that they can extract for, medical research. And of course, the laboratories that come about with some cure to some disease could become fantastically wealthy. And so with most of these people, ethics is something that's certainly not going to be a top-shelf issue. But now we're talking about a government, the British government, coming forward. So now we've gone from private laboratories to a country whose dream at one time was to send Christian missionaries around the world and who considered itself to be the defender of the faith. And if you understand anything about the faith, you know it's based on the Bible, which condemns the crossing of species barriers and which also tells this ominous tale of judgment that came as a result of corrupted human DNA, and that happened as a result of blending the species. So now you have the country of Britain, whose researchers are going to begin to have the opportunity, probably starting tomorrow, to create hybrid embryos by merging human cells with animal eggs in the hope of extracting stem cells for research purposes. And people need to know, some of these creations are going to be what they call cytoplasmic hybrid embryos. That's where a human cell is inserted into the empty animal egg. And then it is sparked with electricity, or as in the case of my book, The Armangator, a chemical is used that causes this embryo to be, these cells to begin multiplying and forming an embryo. But some of these other hybrid embryos, according to the United Kingdom's own reports on this whole debate, these are going to be created by fertilizing animal eggs with human sperm. And vice versa, fertilizing human eggs with animal sperm for the purposes of creating these transgenic beings. Now, what's interesting here is that the biggest issue to the public has been that they don't want these embryos to then be implanted inside of a woman, let's say, who would then carry it to birth. And so in order to get around this issue with the public and to sell this to the public, the British authorities have been promising that they're going to weigh each one of these projects case by case, and they're not going to allow any of this implanting so that these things can come to full term. But you and I know that's just a... this is one step in the Fabian process of gradualism, in other words, where the public at large is being warmed up to the inevitable transhumanist military dream of enhanced humans and post-humans. And the reason I know this is true, and by the way, the Catholic Church knows it's true, and that's why just about 60 days ago, when this draft government legislation in the UK to allow human-animal creation at the embryonic level was being debated, that the representatives for the Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church, these were bishops from England and Wales. They said to the committee, they said the human-animal hybrid embryos conceived in the laboratory, these chimeras, ought to be regarded as human, and that their mothers ought to be allowed to give birth to them. And they actually made a submission. People can look this up on Google or Yahoo. To the Parliamentary Joint Committee scrutinizing this draft legislation, in which they said that the genetic mothers of these chimeras ought to be able to raise them as their own children if they wanted to. And they actually argued that these interspecies embryos should not be treated in any way differently than other human embryos. Now, Dr. Monteith, that's an astonishing comment coming from Vatican representatives, that something that is part human and part animal at the embryo level ought not to be treated any different than other human embryos.
Well, I think we really live in a world gone mad, and certainly our guest is Tom Horn. If you haven't read his book, Ehrman Gate, We Carry It, and it goes into this, it's written as fiction, but it's really based upon exactly what's going on today. We have scientists who have no moral concern. They do not see anything wrong with crossing species and crossing animals with human beings and plants with human beings and planting human tissue and genes into plants so that they can produce various products. But the idea of creating a cross between a human being and an animal, and of course, where will it stop? And of course, we know that one time, if we believe the Bible is true, and I do, that 6,000 years ago, similar things were happening. Only, of course, this was between these demonic beings, the Watchers, call them what you will. And we know, of course, that the Scriptures tell us there was a cross between human beings and these beings from the other dimension, who are certainly not human. So when you understand that there certainly is a past history of this thing going on, and then you ask yourself, do you think God is pleased with what's going on today? How is God going to react? And I don't think you can look at anything going on in America or in the world today outside of its scriptural and religious context, because the problem is we never look at and ask, you know, what would God say about what we're doing in Afghanistan and Iraq today? What do you think God thinks about the fact that our leaders are planning for a massive attack on Iran? I mean, how would God feel about the things that we are doing as we dominate the world? Half the world lives in abject poverty. Half the people in the world live on $2 a day or less. And we've spent all these billions and billions and billions of dollars helping people throughout the world, or we're so concerned about poverty and AIDS and hunger and famine in third world countries. And over the last 50 years, we've been sending all this money, and the American people honestly believe we're trying to help. And the truth is, of course, that the people in charge have no intention of helping those people. The whole idea is to keep them repressed so we can utilize their natural resources and we can live well and they can live in abject poverty in a world where over 50,000 children die every day of starvation. But we never talk about that here. Well, Tom, we're in real trouble, because I think man has forgotten there is a God, and we're all going to stand before his judgment one of these days, and especially these scientists who are violating the very nature of genetics and certainly are creating beings that God never intended for them to create.
Well, I guess it was my point that, some years ago you and I were talking about some of these issues and the very ethics of, I think I remember asking you at the time, you being a medical doctor, you know, what would the ethics be of a part man, part ape? But we were back then, this is 5-6 years ago, we were just talking theoretically. Now we're literally, I mean, I'm quoting from the Catholic bishops' submission to the Parliamentary Joint Committee out of the UK. For instance, in their submission to the committee, they said this. Quote: this is a quote. They said, at the very least, embryos with a preponderance of human genes, should be assumed to be embryonic human beings and should be treated accordingly. In particular, it should not be a crime to transfer them or other human embryos to the body of a woman providing the ovum in cases where a human ovum has been used to create them, and such a woman is the genetic mother or partial mother of the embryo, and should have a, and if she should have a change of heart, not giving it over to experiment, and wanted to carry this child to term, she should not be prevented from doing so.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Tom, you know, sometimes I think we live in a world gone mad. Other times I'm convinced we do. So where do we go from here? Certainly,
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
We alter human beings. so that the soldiers would be the most fearsome beings, and I say beings because I believe, of course, they're going to be less than human. They would not have to sleep. They'd be able to fight for days. They would call them super soldiers. So you go up on the Internet and Google in DARPA, super soldiers, and you'll find out that they really are working on this sort of thing today, and they've been working on it for some time. Because after all, if you're going to control the people, you have to have a powerful military, and you have to have soldiers without a soul who will think nothing at all of doing whatever they're told to, no matter how much human suffering and how unrighteous and in violation of God's law. Men who will fight without a conscience are simply obedient to their masters. So pick this story up there, Tom.
Well, you know, and what's wonderful, I wish we had about 3 hours tonight so we could talk about both the private sector and also the military. The military is ahead of the private sector, but what I'm saying is that we're within less than a decade, and even the National Geographic magazine has predicted that within less than 10 years we will be no longer the sole higher intelligent occupiers of planet Earth. And that, and what they were saying in that article is they were talking about enhanced humans, humans who are not biologically what you and I are. Their DNA has been altered through the introduction of animal DNA into their species. Now, look at where we have come from in just the where we have come to in just the last 10 years. You and I were talking about some of this stuff probably 7 or 8 years ago.
As incredible as it seemed at that time.
And think about it, because you actually, and some of your listeners know this, you're actually one of the people that actually put me on the quest to writing the first book, The Ahriman Gate, because we were doing a show in which we were talking about a movie that I was promoting and that you had agreed to interview some of the people who were promoting that movie that was put out by Cloud 10 Pictures. But I had asked you, because in that movie they show humans being altered so that they have telekinetic-like abilities, and I had asked you if you thought that medical research would ever come to the point where we would alter humans so that humans would actually have a form of telekinesis. Would that happen through exchanging our DNA or transgenically adding to our DNA the DNA of animals so that we're creating X-Men, that sort of thing? And you had talked about a medical convention that you had just come back from where they were talking about some of those issues. And I remember following that evening, that conversation I had with you was the thing that prompted me to begin doing research that ultimately led to the writing of these last two books. So now that I'm a best-selling author, I guess I owe you a lot, huh?
Was that a movie Deceived with
yes.
Lou Gossett Jr.?
Right.
Yes, we still carry that, and it's well worthwhile seeing, although, I mean, we're so far beyond that. Here is a story, and I know that the military is trying to access the other dimension. In fact, I went to visit a friend of mine, and a major general had been there, a two-star army general, who was involved in the study of the occult for the military. And they showed me the spoon that he had bent not once into a circle, but twice into a circle. I picked that up. There was no way I could, of course, bend that metal. But he was able to bend that metal because he had learned how to access the other dimension. And that's very, very, very reminiscent of that DVD we carry called Deceived with Lou Gossett Jr.
Well, and I doubt that Dr. Monteith, you know, back when I started doing research into GM science, I doubt that there was more than 1% of the population that had ever even heard of the term transgenics or human-animal chimeras, let alone things like synthetic biology and nanotechnology. But now, so just now, look at what has happened in the last 10 years. I mean, we've derived stem cells by inserting human genomes into rabbit eggs. We've created mice that have human prostate glands. We've made sheep that have half-human livers. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, Britain's Academy of Medical Sciences reported that scientists have now created thousands of examples of transgenic animals carrying human DNA. And according to that report, for instance, the introduction of human gene sequences into mouse cells in vitro is a technique, according to them, that's being practiced in virtually every biomedical research institution across the world. This has happened so quickly, just exponentially, there has been this explosion of both the scientific advances and interest in what the creations that can be made through merging human and animal DNA. And now, just before that report out of the UK, there was an article called Making Manimals, and this was an article by the Washington Post. And anybody can go look this up.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Tom Horn. And, of course, the conversation this evening is really based in large part upon the two books. One is he's written, one, The Ahriman Gate, which we carry, and the other is, of course, his most recent book, Nephilim Stargates. And, of course, we carry a couple of Tom's books, still do. One is called Spiritual Warfare. The other is called The Gods Who Walk Among Us. And you wonder, what do you mean, gods who walk among us? There's only one God. Well, you and I believe there's only one God. But there are other people who believe that there are other gods, and they worship these other gods. And some of these are people at the highest level of our society. These are people with great wealth and great power, and some of them have to actually supernatural power. This is what's so frightening, and that, of course, is how they've attained their positions of prominence in the world of finance and of education, and yes, even in government itself. Well, go ahead, Tom, pick the story up.
Well, as we were coming out of the break on the other show, we were talking about how the Washington Post just here recently had an article called Making Manimals, and they spell that second word, manimals, M-A-N-I-M-A-L-S, Making Manimals. And the article, of course, was just rehearsing much of what you and I have talked about on different shows at different times, that man's interest in blending animal and human DNA for the purposes of creating exotic forms of life, which is becoming more and more predominant. And now, of course, we have this report out of the United Kingdom where scientists there are going to get government sanction for the creating of half or part human, part animals for research purposes. But in the Washington Post articles, they kind of got down into the dirty, and I liked it because they were bringing this the real questions to the surface in this, and one of the things that they said, kind of tongue-in-cheek, they said to make humanized animals really creepy, all you would have to do was start increasing the ratio of human to animal DNA. And so you'd transplant human cells that would spread throughout the body of the embryo, and you'd do it very early in the embryonic development so that the human cells would shape the animal's architecture, not just blend in. And then you'd grow these embryos to maturity, and then you'd start messing with their brain in order to be able to control them for military purposes. Well, the interesting thing, if you go read that article by the Washington Post, Making Manimals, they set you up. They talk about
this. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Tom was talking about a recent article in the Washington Post entitled Making Manimals. Not animals. Manimals, making men, part men, part animal. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, and that if you wanted to make these things really creepy, what you would do is, because, you know, right now most of these laboratories, at least what they're saying publicly, is that there's, you know, there may be 3% animal, 97% human, and so it's mostly human, or vice versa, it's mostly animal and very, very little of it is human. And the Washington Post article was saying if you wanted to make these really creepy, what you would do is start increasing the ratio of human to animal DNA so that you literally would be creating a type of X-man or X-woman. And they wrote this article as if they were talking only theoretically or hypothetically. And then they surprised everybody by then saying, by the way, this is already happening in laboratories around the world, including here in the United States. And they went on to verify where it was happening. Now, you might recall Irv Wiseman. You and I have talked about him in the past, creating mice with 10% human brains at Stanford University a couple of years ago, and how he had been advocating to return to that experiment and to create mice with 100% human brains. Well, guess what? Stanford's ethicists have now tentatively endorsed Wiseman's idea, and they've decided that it might not be bad to endow mice, and I'm going to quote them here with, quote, some aspects of human consciousness or some human cognitive abilities, end quote, for the purposes of research. I mean, Dr. Mondese, can you even imagine what the ethics are of a mouse that begins to question what it is, where it came from, who is God? I mean, I'm just so astonished that this stuff is actually happening. But there was, and this was just recently, the Weekly Standard ran an article by Jay Bottom, who's their books and arts director, and he was editorializing about an Australian company called Stem Cell Sciences, and then an American company called Biotransplant, who had created a manimal that was three part pig and 97% man. And they had actually allowed this thing to grow to the 32-cell embryonic level before it was discovered and pressure was put on them, and then they said they destroyed it. But in his editorial, Mr. Bottom said that there were, because he went and did an investigative piece on this, he actually talked to the scientists, and he said there was some suggestion from the creators that their purpose in designing this human pig was to build a new race of subhuman creatures for scientific and medical use. And here was their argument. They said that since the creatures were 3% pig, laws against the use of people as research would not apply. However, since these creations were 97% human, experiments could be profitably undertaken upon them, and that they could be used as living meat lockers. That was his term, meat lockers for transplantable organs and tissue. But then his article got real interesting. Mr. Bottom went on to say this. He said that there has been some suggestion from the creators that their purpose was not so much to corrupt humanity, listen to this, not so much to corrupt humanity as to elevate it. That the creation of the pig man is proof that we can overcome the genetic barriers that once prevented crossbreeding between humans and other species, and that at last then we may begin to design a new race of beings with perfections that the mere human species lack: increased strength, enhanced beauty, extended range of life, immunity from disease. And then these scientists finally went on to admit that their embryos that they had created could have been implanted into women or into some other facility to become a new kind of human if the experiment hadn't have been discovered. Well, this is what's going on in private research laboratories. This is also what's going on in black operation budgets. And if you've been following any of the news coming out of the Transvision 2007 conference that just concluded a couple of weeks ago, you know that there's this strong growing philosophy among some of the academics in our leading universities around the world, including here in the United States, a philosophy called transhumanism that wants this very thing to happen. I mean, they actually see, and I've debated with them. Dr. Hughes, who is the executive director for the Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies, invited me on his radio show. I debated him on his show, and he's a bioethicist and sociologist that teaches at Trinity College in Hartford. He sits on boards at Yale University, and he's one of the head guys in the transhumanist movement, and Nick Bostrom.
But, of course, what people forget is that we cannot approach something like this from a logical point of view. There are only really two points of view in the world. There is either a God or there is no God. And if there is a God, we're subservient to him. If there is no God, man can do whatever he wants to.
Well, and Dr. Monteith, in transhumanism, man is God.
Right.
And this is literally what they are doing. They are playing God. They are the new creators in their mind. I mean, they literally see transgenically coupling humans and animals as the next step in human evolution. But I guess my point was, you and I were talking about all of this as if it was a theory, and only some 7-8 years ago. Now, when I say now that within less than a decade, and the National Geographic magazine has said the same thing, that in less than a decade we will literally be giving birth to beings who are part human, part animal. I mean, it's just simply, it's the evidence is there that this is exactly what's going to happen. We're living at a time where populations are being softened up to accept what would have been inconceivable just one generation ago, and it's going to bring judgment. And you've said that, and I believe you're right. It's going to bring judgment. The first time it was water, the next time it's fire. Because we're living at a time, in fact, Mr. Bottom, I got off his article, he actually went on to recognize in his Pigman article these issues. He talked about families now that have created test tube babies solely for the purpose of serving as tissue donors for their relatives. Some of them are brought to birth, some are merely harvested as embryos and fetuses. He talked about how we're living at a moment where Harper's Bazaar can advise women to keep their faces unwrinkled by having themselves injected with fat coal from human cadavers. We're living in a moment in which the Australian philosopher Peter Singer received a chair at Princeton University for advocating the destruction of infants after birth if their lives were likely to be a burden.
Up to, I think, 3 years of age, yes. Pete Singer is certainly one of my most distinctly testable people I know. But you see, between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference. And as you begin analyzing what's going on today, you realize that God, as we've said, is going to bring judgment on these people. But unfortunately, when the rain falls, it falls on both the just and the unjust. And I believe he's going to bring judgment on the whole earth. And we're going to be caught right in the middle of this whole thing.
Well, why are there so few people? Why are there so few people like you and I talking about these issues? See, this is one of the other reasons why I wrote these books, because I'm astonished that I'm now considered one of the leading experts in the U.S. on this issue, and I can't hardly believe it. I mean, I'm my degree is in theology, for crying out loud. I'm neither a scientist, a doctor, a philosopher, an ethicist, or any of the rest of this. It just shows you that there is this horrendous vacuum. The church is so asleep. The church is so unaware of what is going on right beneath its eyes, or for whatever reason, they're simply not willing to talk about it. I mean, when we're living at a time when priests for the Catholic Church are saying the human chimeras should be allowed to be born and grow, this is a strange generation. I mean, this article Mr. Bottom wrote, I'm thinking, you know, our swine-snouted grandchildren, or grandchildren, the fruit not of my loins, but the fruit of our arrogance as a generation, and our bright test tubes, this is going to bring us to something that's going to participate in an experiment. We're doing it right now, and it happened once before when the mutated DNA of proto-humans known as Nephilim spread throughout the ancient world through intermarriage, and it led to chaos and judgment, and it's going to happen again.
And, of course, you point out in your book that apparently all the Nephilim did not die at the time of the Great Flood. Is that right?
Well, this goes to the, let me think of the term. It goes to the, to the Nephilim that go down into the earth and what they become once they've gone down into the earth. And the Rephaim, took me a minute to catch that word, the Rephaim. That's actually a Hebrew use of an Amorite term that refers to these beings having the ability to return from the dead. But Dr. Monteith, their return from the dead seems to be connected to man's willingness to play God in the breaching of the species barrier.
And, of course, the thing is that in the Bible it tells us, you know, each species will produce its own species. And of course, that has always been the way it was. And now, of course, we're so much smarter than God, and now we can breach the species barrier, and we can take genes from fish and put them into our food. Or certainly we can take antibiotic-resistance genes and put them into animals as we begin to modify the structure of animals. And then what happens if these antibiotic-resistant genes get out there and suddenly the antibiotics don't work anymore, and nobody ever stops to think of the consequences of the terrible things that we're doing today as we're beginning creating genetically modified food and genetically modified animals. And now, of course, why of course we're going to begin creating genetically modified human beings. That of course is something. And where is the outcry from the average minister? I mean, they're not even discussing these issues. They're discussing a lot of incidental things, and I certainly believe that the study of the scriptures is important. But we really need to look to our religious leaders to keep us informed, because we're not going to get the truth from Rush Limbaugh or Brian Williams or Sean Hannity or any of the other establishment-controlled commentators who are paid not to reveal but to conceal from the American people the truth about what's happening. And you really need to get the information that Tom has in Ehrman Gate, and then, of course, the Stargate book of the Nephilim. Fascinating material here. A lot of information I was totally unaware of, and we recommend both of these books. They're both available from Radio Liberty. And before we go on, Tom, why don't we give you a chance to get out to your website and how people can get your other material. I think, incidentally, Raider's website is one of the most fascinating websites out there.
Well, and by the way, Raider's News Network, we noticed today that you had just updated two of your incredible articles that you sent out in your Radio Liberty newsletter, and so those will be published post-haste at Raider's News Network tomorrow. And we appreciate the fact that you've given us liberty to be able to do that. We got a picture of you there on the front page. You've always been one of the scholars and gentlemen that we've had great respect for, and believe certainly are a prophet in these last days. People can go to RaidersNewsNetwork.com, or they can go to RaidersNewsUpdate.com, and the news is updated there 6 days of the week. And it's an incredible resource. I have a couple of people that are working for me full time now, and they literally scan the globe for the news that most people won't cover. They write a lot of the news themselves. I also have about 20 people that are writing for me now, so a lot of the news is original news. But anywhere we find the news, that's the news that we publish. And anytime you publish anything, we always put it over there. I would just say, you know, people can get either of my books from you. I'm not sure if you've got the second one yet, but if you'll have somebody call and talk to Rocky and tell them to send you a case, they can do that. Get the Ehrman Gate or Nephilim Stargates, or get both of them through Radio Liberty. And anybody that reads those books are going to understand clearly, Dr. Monteith, that there is a solid preponderance of Scripture and ancient texts that support the notion what happened in Genesis 6 with the Watchers mingling their DNA with humans and animals in order to produce a suitable body into which they could extend themselves and from their plane of existence into ours, that is something that is going to happen again. It was prophesied to happen again. It was foretold to happen again. Not only Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, Daniel said, whereas thou saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And my good friends Chuck Missler and Eastman, in their book Alien Encounters, asked the right question there when they said that the personal pronoun there, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, brings up an astonishing question. Just who are these non-seed that are mingling themselves with the seed of men? Well, that was the right question. Bravo. Because it literally staggers the mind to contemplate the significance of Daniel's passage and its implications for the future of global governance, because what that passage in Daniel is indicating is that the same phenomenon that occurred in Genesis 6, where non-human species, non-seed, were mingling with human seed, and that this led to the giants and the Nephilim and finally to judgment, that same kind of phenomenon is going to be occurring again in the last days, in the revived Roman Empire, in the New World Order. And another thing, when these non-seed who mingle themselves with the seed of men, when that verse in Daniel is coupled with Genesis chapter 3, there is an incredible tenet that emerges, and it is that Satan has seed, and that his seed is at enmity with Christ. Genesis 3 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed on her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. The word translated there, seed, is the Hebrew word zerah, which means offspring, descendants, children. So then, you ask yourself, is there a satanic posterity that's lurking behind these stargates we started out the show talking about, waiting for some final opportunity to mingle themselves with human DNA just like they did in days of old? Is that the method by which the Nephilim are going to return? Is that the method by which the Antichrist himself will be incarnated? If Genesis 6 is truly an account of rebel angels leaving their assigned habitation and cohabiting with human females, out of which union mutant life forms were born, then is it reasonable to assume that Satan, as a fallen angel, already has or will be allowed the ability to copulate with a woman or to mingle his material with the DNA of a woman to produce a child, whom Paul actually called the son or the offspring of perdition, Apollyon, the destroyer incarnated?
Well, we're going to have to just leave it there. One of these evenings we're going to have to do a 2 or 3 hour program, because we only have 2 hours in the evening, but we'll get to back. You just hang on there for just a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been Tom Horn. His books, The Ahriman Gate and Stargates, are the second book of fascinating material. You need to understand what's really going on today behind the scenes. Well, Tom, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
You know, the thing with you is, you always get me excited, and there's no way to ever get to the end.
All right, well, we've got 3 minutes. You're going to have to wrap it up there, because unfortunately, the computer tells us what to do.
Okay.
Well, so anyway, what was the parting thought you'd like to leave with our listeners this evening?
Well, just that what is occurring now is so prophetic, and why there are so few people that can see what is going on in the world right now in terms of genetic modification, biotechnology. This report today out of the UK that we're now going to start, and this is by government sponsorship, we're going to start mingling humans and animals. It's so astonishing, and it's so prophetic. And yet, I gave up a long time ago on watching most of these television ministry programs. If you turn any of them on, what are they talking about? How to be blessed? How to whatever? It's like there's no prophetic voice out there. There's yours. There's a few others, but in the mainstream church, there's something that is entirely missing. So maybe that's prophetic too. Will there be any faith when I return?
Well, of course, I don't profess to be a prophet. I just happen to be an amateur historian who's trying to make some sense out of what's going on today. And of course, I can't make any sense out of it by studying history, only by studying the scriptures, and then overlaying that with history, and then seeing what's happening scientifically, to begin to realize really what exciting, dangerous, frightening, and yet really wonderful times we live in today, because I believe we're seeing the unfolding of prophecy. Well, I guess this evening has been Tom Horn, and certainly we commend him for his books, and now he, of course, has the opportunity to publish books, and the books are doing fairly well, and of course we've talked to other of his authors, not only in this country, but even he has one over there in Ireland. We've had a very good time talking to on several occasions. Well, Tom, thank you so very much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you back on our programs here in the very, very near future.
Well, Dr. Monteith, it's sure always a privilege to be on your radio programs with you. I love doing it. And just any time you want me on, send me an email or call me, and I'll be there.
I will. God bless, and thanks so very much.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, that's Tom Horn. Of course, Tom Horn's a ordained minister. It was in the ministry for many years until he encountered the occult and began to explore it and try to put this into focus on what's going on today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our program with Tom Horn. Chris, there's so much more in his book on the Stargate and the Nephilim that we really didn't get into. How do you understand what's going on today? How do you understand UFOs? Well, I really believe that they are manifestations of the metaphysical. We carry a book called Alien Intervention. I believe it is Alien Intervention. And you'll find it a fascinating book. We carry Tom's two earlier books, The Gods Who Walk Among Us and Spiritual Warfare. And there really is spiritual warfare going on today, only most Christians don't know it. And then, of course, we carry his two latest books on the Ahriman Gate and on Stargates, the Nephilim Stargates. And there is so much history out here that those of you who have not yet seen my talk DVD, Forbidden Secret, we cover the same idea. This secret has been passed down for 5,000 years through the secret societies. We know that Pythagoras understood it, that Plato and certainly Aristotle and Alexander the Great were well aware of it, because Alexander the Great was deeply involved in the mysteries, and we actually have the writings of Pythagoras, and we quote them in our syllabus and in the talk, the writings, I should say, of Plutarch in the first century, quoting Alexander, talking about having been introduced to the mysteries. And, of course, it all gets back to the ancient mystery religions. And what was the secret that was passed down through the ages? Well, of course, it's being discussed openly today. And that is that you are God. And all you have to do is tap into this mysterious force and you can alter the universe. Of course, we advise you avoid this philosophy altogether, because it comes right from the pit of hell. But there are literally millions of Americans who have read Rhonda Byrne's book, The Secret, and have watched her DVD, The Secret, and it's been featured on Oprah Winfrey and Larry King, and it is sweeping our country. It's sweeping the world. And people are being taken into the occult, and most of them have no idea what they're into. They think they're into spirituality, but they're into the spirituality and the power that comes from the other dimension. Well, let me suggest, if you want to get the material we've talked about, Tom Horn's books, The Ahriman Gate, Stargates, Spiritual Warfare, The Gods Who Walk Among Us. We carry those four books by Tom Horn, the book Alien Intervention, going into the background of what UFOs really are about. And then my talk, The Forbidden Secret, which comes with a video, and then we have certainly the other DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and then Riddles in Stone, which, of course, you probably want to get the writings of Manly P. Hall, which we do not list in our catalog, because Manly P. Hall was a Satanist. But his book, The Secret Destiny of America, explains why we are fighting in Iraq today. The book was written in 1944, but it will tell you exactly why we are fighting in Iraq today, and then I fear what lies ahead. So anyway, of course, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get more information, if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter. Why, I would be glad to send it to you. If you'd like, of course, to get one of our catalogs on emergency food products, on health products, on certainly on the general things that are available from Radio Liberty. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you can see a lot of our videos are posted there. You can watch them for nothing. You can get to listen to our radio programs 3 hours a day there, and then we do 2 hours, other hours a day. We do 5 hours a day trying, like the watchman on the wall in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, trying to make people aware of what's coming down the line. And all we can do is do our best. But in the end result, the battle is the Lord's. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Again, our number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And if you're out there across America, why are we ordinarily invite your calls? But please don't call unless we do ask for calls. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, but please do not call unless we ask for calls. Our guest, Kevin McDonald, and of course Kevin McDonald is certainly involved with TACTA, and he's actually put out a video. It's called Sheltering in Place. And I think it's important that people understand that we face the very real possibility of a chemical, biological, or nuclear warfare. Why? Because I believe God is going to bring his judgment on this country. And I believe that they have specifically and intentionally left the American people defenseless. Now, they have all sorts of facilities and underground bunkers. They're well-stocked and well-ventilated. For the elite in Washington, D.C., there's one in Santa Rosa, where they can get the government officials from San Francisco up there, and they have helicopter pads. So they will be protected. The elite will be protected. And at one time we had an adequate civil defense program for the United States, and it's been pretty well disbanded. And most Americans have made no preparation at all for what really lies ahead. Well, Kevin McDonald is part of a group of, that is really working to try to get the information out, and he is associated with TACTA. That's the American Civil Defense Association, TACDA. And, of course, the purpose is to try to get the American people to begin making preparations to protect themselves, because I fear that many people are going to die of panic, or die of starvation, or die of disease, totally unnecessarily, because we have been abandoned, just as the people of Israel have been abandoned by their leaders. In fact, they all used to have gas masks. They took them away from them, and many times by force. They sent the military around to collect the gas masks, and they refused to get them back again. Why? They're leaving the people of Israel open for extermination. And I believe the same thing is going to happen here, because there are powerful spiritual forces working behind the scenes, and people don't like to think about that. Why, our leaders would never do that. Well, American leaders wouldn't, but there are people working in key positions who have a different agenda, because they worship a different God, and they have an intense hatred of the United States. And it's only a small part of the people, but these are people in key positions who know exactly what they're doing. And I believe every American owes it to himself and to his family to begin making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. Kevin, thank you very much for being with us.
Many times, Dan.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners what motivated you to get involved with TACTA and certainly this film, Shelter in Place, which we carry, which we think is so vitally important for people to have. At least they have some idea what to think about and to do.
Well, basically, what happened was is that, like a lot of people out there, I was under the impression that there wasn't a whole lot you can do. I mean, I'd grown up in a time period which, you know, we've been preached the idea of a nuclear winter and you know, the end of the world scenario that there was, that basically you couldn't do anything. And with time, I actually met a very, very wonderful gentleman, Wayne LeBaron.
All right, hold on, though. We're going to be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty. Okay,
still
Kevin, okay, Kevin, go right ahead.
At the time, I met a gentleman who was, out of his own pocket, doing a course on sheltering in place. And he'd actually been asked by the lieutenant governor of the state of Utah to go out and teach this technique that he had developed. And he was just doing it out of his own pocket, helping people. And I attended one of his seminars that he gave. And I was just stunned at what you could do, how simple it was, how just a little bit of knowledge could go a long ways. And he said the most amazing thing to me, that just a little bit of knowledge will increase your survival by 80%. And I thought, wow, that's an amazing jump. And so I took the time to look through the information that he had, and we went over it and we talked about it. And I called him later on. My background is the entertainment industry. I used to work in it for years. And I called him up and I said, you know, this is information that people need to have. And, you know, you can only drive around in your car and do so much. You know, if we could put it on a video, we could get it out to more people. And so he agreed to do that. I mean, he, without really any serious expectations, he said, let's do it. All my materials, everything I can do to help you make this happen. And so we took his techniques that he had applied to sheltering in place, including learning how to filter the air in your home, and put all of that in a very easy to understand video. Now, one of the things we really wanted to do is we wanted to get away from the old survivalist mentality, because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to have to defend myself against my neighbor. I want to help my neighbor. I want my neighbor to get ready and be prepared. And so what we did was, is we decided that we needed to make a friendly, positive, uplifting video that would encourage people to realize that that there were things that they could do that were very basic, very simple, and very positive. And it never fails. Anytime I get a group of people to sit down and watch this video, and especially the ones that tell me that they want to be at ground zero when the big one hits, when they watch that video, it changes their attitude completely. There are things you can do. Another one of the reasons that I loved Wayne, and I'll probably get in trouble with him for saying this, but
I want you to hold that for just a moment.
We're
going to be right back in just a minute with Kevin McDonald. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Kevin McDonald, and Kevin, of course, has been involved with putting together a video called Shelter in Place, which we do carry. And he really got this idea from a man named Wayne LeBaron, who lives in Utah. Was it Utah or Idaho he lives in?
He lives in Utah.
All right, and fine. And Wayne certainly had studied and thought a lot about what people could do to protect themselves if there was a nuclear attack, or much of this would carry over into there was a chemical or biological attack. But instead of panicking, and you can imagine what would happen if you were suddenly faced with a major attack on America, people would have no idea what to do. They'd be running around like chickens with their heads off, getting in their cars, getting on a road. You'd be bumper to bumper, and that's the worst place you want to be. Chances are, you're going to have to learn how to shelter right in your own home, but there's so much you can do. And so Kevin had actually learned from Wayne LeBaron what Wayne had really thought about and put a lot of thought into, and they put together a video. And, of course, it's been shown to people all across America. It's called Sheltering in Place. Not that expensive, pretty straightforward, and of course, it's a thought process. You're prepared, you know what there is, and chances are, if there were to be a major cataclysmic event, you would increase your survivability probably 80% or far more than that, and the people who have no idea what to do would be totally panicked. So this will certainly give you a feeling of security when you've at least thought about this. Go ahead, pick up the story there, Kevin.
Well, basically, one of the things that really convinced me that Wayne knew what he was talking about was his experience. Wayne is a certified health physicist. I mean, he's worked He's worked in the Los Alamos labs. He's worked in Nevada. He was there when the government was doing their nuclear testing. He has done research for the government. He's worked for the nuclear regulator, the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And he probably won't like me talking about that so much. But the reason it's important is because, unlike a lot of the scientists who are out there pumping out their theories, Wayne has practical hands-on experience. He was actually one of the first two responders to the first nuclear reactor accident in the United States, and when he was a younger man. And so one of the things that I found really interesting in our conversations that Wayne told me was that when they were doing the studies about the radiation that they knew had escaped in the United States, that they found that one of the things that was consistently it was consistent with radiation was that it's inconsistent. There are so many variables out there that make such a huge difference. Our age, our health, any type of surroundings that you're in, all of these variables make a huge difference. And they found that there was actually a higher propensity for instance, leukemia with lower level radiation than there was with the deadlier radiation. And they really don't understand why that's the case. They just know that there's a kind of a very broad parameter that they say don't have that much radiation happen to you. But within that, there's still survivability. And so basically Wayne said that in our studies we realized that if we could just get people to get indoors even and stay indoors for as little as 3 days after the first event, that their life expectancy, went through the roof. I mean, they were going to be fine. There were still going to be problems. There's no 100% guarantee when you're dealing with something like this, but there are very basic things that you can do that will help you tremendously. As simple as knowing that to go indoors, stay indoors, keep it shut. Now, if you know what to tape up and what not to tape up or what to filter, that increases things even more. Knowing how much food that you need to have on hand, how much water you need to have on hand. One of the things I loved about Wayne was he said, you need to have 14-day supply of water. They're not, 3-day supply is not enough. And he said, after you have a 14-day supply of water, when an event happens, he said, have a couple of family members designated to go through the house, if the water's still running, go through the house, fill up the tub, fill up the pots and pans, fill up the sinks with water. He said, that way you're increasing the potential for water. He said, if you have water, he said, your life expectancy goes up. And so knowing these basic things really helps you a lot. What I basically did with Wayne when we first wrote the script for this is I went in and I said, look, I don't want to know the science. I'm an average guy who's working. I'm trying to take care of my family. Just tell me what to do. Step one, step two, just tell me what to do. I said, I don't want to know the time, distance, and mass. That stuff just makes your eyes glaze over. And if you can tell me, A through Z what to do, I think that would be more beneficial to people. As soon as the balloon goes up or they announce on the radio that there's been an incident, or even still if you've watched the video and what the effects of an EMP are, your watch is stopped, the car's not working, you have a pretty good idea that something's happened, get your family in the house. And, that's a good place to start. If you educate your neighbors, even better. Because then the potential for death and disease decreases substantially, which increases life in the area. If you encourage them to put food away, and one of the things you can do, show your neighbors this video. Get a copy of this video and bring your neighbors in and show it to them. Or hand it to them and say, look, sit down and watch this video. And we granted, we're a business, but the truth is that, you know, the more people who know this, the better off we are. As a nation, the more people who knows this, the better off we are. As a nation, we'll be able to get back on our feet much faster than if we were to sit around and wait for this to hit us. I don't know if that helps you or not.
No, I know. Well, really, of course, the video is really very, very simple. And yet, of course, if you look at it, it just tells you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and, you know, because some people say, oh, well, you got to tape everything up, you know, so nothing will get in. Well, hey, you tape everything up, air can't get in, and you're going to suffocate. And there's nothing wrong with duct tape and plastic, but if you put it on there wrong, why, you're gonna suffocate in your own room. You've created a coffin for yourself. So the video tells you exactly what to do. You don't need a lot of things, but you need a few very essential, simple things to get you through this difficult time. And when, of course, we see what's going on in the world today, ladies and gentlemen out there in the listening audience, there are people in Washington, D.C. who are planning a massive attack on Iran. They think it's going to last 3 to 7 days. What happens if they're wrong? I mean, certainly they've been wrong about everything else, and I believe, of course, that they're very, very wrong about this, because it would be fine if Iran does not make reprisals, but what happens if maybe the third or fourth day after hundreds of thousands of Iranians have been killed, that they should sink one or two of our carriers? What would that do? Maybe they would launch an attack on the Green Zone in Baghdad and kill a few thousand Americans. Then are we just going to let the war end at that point, or are we going to have to retaliate? And then are they going to retaliate? And what's going to happen to Pakistan, where, of course, there's a growing radical Islamic movement, and Pakistan has very sophisticated missiles, of course, built with American technology that the Chinese communists got from Bill Clinton, and they have nuclear weapons, assumed that well over 100, between 1 and 200 nuclear warheads. How would you like to have those in the hands of the radical Islamists? People say that this could never happen, and I would ask, if you look at it from a rational point of view, from God's point of view, why couldn't it happen? If God is just, his justice is not going to sleep forever, and the things that we as a nation are doing are going to bring God's judgment on this nation.
True.
And
our
job is to try to survive, and so we can be a light for the people that are out there, but at first we're going to have to survive, and certainly people say, well, it's all in God's hands. And, well, I believe it is all in God's hands, but did you ever stop to think that maybe God's got to listen to this program tonight, and maybe that's why you tuned in tonight? Under any circumstances, we need to have the information, and of course, Kevin and the organization he's associated with has phenomenal organization. Now, you're with TACTA, aren't you, Kevin?
I actually help them, but I'm not directly associated with them. We actually have our own organization, and I work. I probably do more work with Physicians for Civil Defense than
I
do with TACTA.
Well, I got some great things today. Did you send me some things? Somebody sent me some great things on civil defense today. We just got them in, and
it was probably Steve Jones from Physicians for Civil Defense, because I think I received the same thing.
All right, fine. Well, anyway.
But Stan, can we just talk about our government? Because I just finished dealing with them.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment, and we'll be glad to let you talk about the things. The trouble is that we certainly should be having all sorts of efforts made by our government to protect the people, and as far as I can see, they're making almost no preparations at all. And after the way that FEMA treated the people in New Orleans, do you really want to be like them? Those people where FEMA was there blocking efforts to bring in food and water and relief supplies and evacuate the people. Why did FEMA do that? Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, you know, Stan, we just spent the last 4 months actually working with the Department of Homeland Security. And, you know, I have to tell you, honestly, that was quite the revelation. You know, I knew it was bad, but I had no idea how bad it was. And quite frankly, it's a real can of worms. They are so busy, jockeying for their power positions, and I'm gonna go as far as say philandering and probably even racier things than that. They're so busy with that they really are not thinking about you, the public. And the problem with this is that they do know that there is a problem. They do realize that there's a threat, but they are so caught up with their own power struggle that they really are not reacting to it properly. For themselves, they are. For themselves, they are refurbishing and reestablishing all sorts of shelters with all sorts of food for them and some emergency responders. But the truth is, when we were in Orlando doing one of the shows there for emergency responders, the truth is that they are so self-centered that they can't see past their pride. You run into people that it's either got to be their way or no way at all. They're not willing to even consider any possibility. If it even mentions God in it, which our video does, at the very end, my daughter is the star in that, and at the very end of the video, she says, you know, God bless. And, you know, I know that was a major turnoff for them. They admitted to me that the video is completely what the country needs. In fact, every EMS specialist that we interviewed that actually saw the video wanted to be able to use the video in their community, from, you know, Nevada to Massachusetts, and which is great. We're actually looking forward to the possibility of doing that. But these poor EMS guys are so hamstrung by government shenanigans. It's not even funny. And the sad thing about it is there really is a threat, and they really don't care about the public. I wish that they did, because they really do have the ability to do something. The other thing too that you also have to think about is that the men who are in charge of these very offices that have to do with our lives are attorneys. Most of them are attorneys. They have little or no experience or training in these areas. So they're wanting totally to for the information to make proper decisions. They are so concerned about the political correctness of everything that they can't get anything done. In the 4 months that we were dealing with DHS, they were shaken up three times. And the department that we were supposed to be dealing with, when we finally got to that department, finally got settled.
Hold on, though. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Kevin McDonald. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kevin has said that they spent quite a bit of time working with the DHS, that's the Department of Homeland Security, and of course had hoped that they could, you know, interest them in utilizing the video and the other information that Kevin and his friends, who are concerned about protecting and educating the American people for survivability, the information they have. And Kevin said that during the 20 months he were working with them, the Department of Homeland Security was the division they were working with, were shaken up 20 times, three times, that everything was done to block them. They certainly are not interested at all in you. They have, of course, all sorts of shelters for themselves but for the emergency responders, but they have no plans to help the general public, and I know that to be true. I went to a meeting of this, the Civil Defense Association, about 2 years ago, And what amazed me most, first of all, I think there were only about three doctors there, three or four physicians other than the speakers. There were, I think, 15 people in the audience in the morning. And it turned out that two of them were from FEMA, and the question came up, what does FEMA have to help the American people? And one of the women from FEMA got up and said, FEMA has no plan to help the public. And if you want help, you're going to have to make your plans on your own. We came to see what you were planning to do, because we have no plans at all for a general catastrophic event in America. You saw what happened out in New Orleans. They spent literally tens of billions of dollars on all sorts of nonsensical things. They blocked efforts by local people who wanted to come in and help. People wanted to come in with their airboats. I mean, some of the people down in the bayous had all sorts of airboats. They could have gotten all over the flooded area of New Orleans and got the people out, and FEMA wouldn't let them in. There were people there with motorboats that came in from Louisiana. Why, of course, FEMA wouldn't let them in. I mean, some of the big corporations sent down food and supplies and ice, and FEMA wouldn't let them in, and people died unnecessarily, and they died in the hospital and the roofs and the attics of the buildings, because FEMA would not even allow people with helicopters to come in and help with the evacuation. And FEMA was totally inadequate, but they were in charge. And then they sent the military in to begin collecting the weapons. And who's going to protect the people, you know, from marauders if you take the guns away from the law-abiding citizens? They weren't going to get them away from the marauders or the people who, of course, were going around and pillaging. No, they wanted to take the weapons away from the law-abiding citizens so they'd have no way to defend themselves. What sort of logic is that? They were bringing in the professional mercenaries, the killers who were hired from throughout the world. From Iraq, the Blackwater mercenaries were brought into New Orleans. And then, of course, there's so many unanswered questions as to why did this happen in the first place. Because, of course, the hurricane did not hit New Orleans. It veered along the Mississippi coast, and of course they had a bad storm. And about 45 minutes to an hour after the storm had passed, when the streets were beginning to dry out and the sidewalks were beginning to dry out, suddenly there were a number of loud, well, some people say there were explosions. And the dikes gave way not in one, but in three different places. Why would they give away in three different places? And now we find out that a lot of the homes there in New Orleans that were not badly damaged or that have been renovated, they're being condemned for a major new development. It's going to make a lot of developers very, very rich and wealthy. But people are losing their homes there. They're being taken away by the government locally in the name of transferring the property to more productive people. Maybe nothing as it appears to be. And certainly FEMA was right at the very apex of that. Well, Kevin, certainly, what can people do at this point?
Well, the most important thing is take care of yourself. And then encourage your neighbors to take care of themselves. You know, we know for a fact that they are not gearing up to help us. With all the fancy gear and everything that has been purchased and is being encouraged to be purchased, with every EMS worker out there, and I'm actually certified as well. You drag all of these people out, they're still not going to be able to deal with a national disaster. And you know, the thing I'm concerned about is a few years ago, when September 11th happened, a friend of mine, who I've been encouraging for years to do something, didn't do anything. And when September 11th happened, what happened was that she was not emotionally and spiritually ready.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I guess it's Kevin McDonald. And, of course, Kevin was saying that he had a friend who was not emotionally ready when September 11th came. You know, and if you certainly do not have a personal relationship with God, and suddenly it looks like the whole of the world is beginning to topple and implode in on you, you panic. I mean, you got no place to look. Those of us who have a relationship with the Lord, and we know we're in God's hands. If He wants us to pull through, we're going to pull through. If He doesn't want us to pull through, why we go to a better place? So tell us about your friend, Kevin.
Well, she sat in her basement for 2 weeks and was pretty much in an emotional state of shock. And it took some coaxing to get her to come back to life again. But what astounded me was that I found out there were a lot of people like that. And that, you know, you remember the president coming out and telling everybody to go back to work again because people were so in such a state of shock that they were not doing, they were just not living their lives. And, the key to this is, you know, when we're prepared, we will not fear. And that's both spiritually and temporally. When we're prepared, we will not fear. You know, there's two things that people need to do. First of all, they need to make sure that they've got that great connection with God that they need to have. Because that, there's a profound stability emotionally that happens there, and that spiritually happens there. It'll give them the foundation they need to ride out rough times. For me, one of the great turning points in my thinking on this were the founding fathers of this country and their attitude towards, you know, the great trials that they went through during the Revolutionary War. You know, if you go through and you read their histories, I mean, you know, Benjamin Franklin wasn't cowering down in his basement, you know, when the British were tearing things up. He was still publishing his newspaper. Paul Revere was still making silver, doing his silversmithing. I mean, you could run the list. They were all trying to live, you know, normal, stable lives while working for the freedom of this country. And that's a great attitude to have. And if you read their writings, you'll see that there was a great reliance on God. And that's something that people need to do. The next thing they need to do is be practical. I mean, if we were playing a game of chess and I took, you know, all your pawns off the table and I kept all of mine, it wouldn't be a very fair game. So you want to have all your pieces on the table, and that means that you need to have some food set aside.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, Kevin. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Kevin was pointing out how important it is, first of all, to have a personal relationship with our Lord and so that you can be at peace with Him and with yourself when and if the crisis comes. And I think it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when it comes, because I believe there is going to be a terrible judgment on this nation. So, basically, if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord and want to explore that thought, you can always call us off the air. And then, of course, Kevin makes the point. You need to make preparations. You need to know that you and your family can survive. If whatever happens, and you're prepared, because chances are you're not going to be directly hit by a nuclear bomb or even by the chemical or biological warfare. But, of course, so many of these things are aimed at creating terror and fear and panic. They want panic. And out of that panic comes, of course, a total paralysis and inability to do anything. Well, Kevin, before we go on, I want you to get your telephone number out, your webpage, so people know how to get in touch with you. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So let's get your information out, Kevin, so people would know how to get in touch with you and the other organizations.
Well, we're sheltering in place. The name of the video is Sheltering in Place, and we do have a website. It's www.shelteringinplace.com. And just remember to put the ing on the end of shelter. But that's sheltering in place.com, and then they can call us to order a copy of the video, though I would prefer they order it through you. That would be the most important thing. And I mean, we do sell potassium iodate, which basically we've been campaigning to get into a major retailer. That's something that should be at every pharmacy in this country.
That is tough. We do carry that. We think that's important, too. Everybody should have a good supply of potassium iodate on hand.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's... Let me tell you a little story, real quick. Like,
right.
We have friends who were in the Baltics, downwind of Chernobyl when it happened, and they were able to go and get potassium iodide in the powder form, but potassium iodide in the powder form is too caustic for small children to take, and they didn't have the buffer pill technology that we have here in America. And so, of their six children, their five oldest children were able to take the potassium iodate powder, but the youngest one kept throwing it up. The youngest one died from radiation sickness. This is paramount to have. They need to have either potassium iodide or potassium iodate or sodium iodide or sodium iodate, depending on where they're located. The most common out there are potassium iodide and potassium iodate. Potassium iodate has an excellent shelf storage life to it, which is one I recommend because of that reason. You can keep it on the shelf for 10 years and it's still good. Iodide, on the other hand, tends to have a shorter lifespan. But it's paramount that you have this in your survival. When you're dealing with fallout, this is one of the key elements to fighting the effects of fallout on your glands. And so I would absolutely tell you that this is a must. You must call, Stan and order some potassium iodate to have it in your home. And, I actually went out. I know that some of your family members might think you're a little nutty for doing this. But I actually went out and ordered enough of it when I first learned about it and sent it to my family in Oregon and in California and here in Utah and made sure that everybody had plenty on hand. And I told them to keep it in the medicine cabinet where they could keep an eye on it. But it's an absolute must. And there are a few items like that that you need to consider having. I think you're going to have Steve talk about his homemade radiation meter.
Yes, we're certainly going to tell them about that. We're going to be carrying that and offering it. But I would simply point out that you cannot go out and just buy potassium iodate at your local drugstore. They just don't have it. And they should have it, but they don't. And we had a lady call the other day, and of course she said, well, we didn't have any in stock, so she was just going to go out and just forget about her order. She's going to go out and get it on her own. And she called back half an hour later and said, please go ahead and put my order in, because she couldn't get it elsewhere. And she realized how important it was to have on hand. Now, I mean, there's certain elementary things you need. You need food and medical supplies and water. Water is, of course, vitally important. And then, what you do and not to panic. If you do the things that are laid out in this very, very simple video, why, of course, you're going to cover most, of course, of the things that need to be done. And, of course, Wayne LeBaron, who put this together, is a health physicist, and he understands, and he's worked, of course, in the nuclear industry for many years. So if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, why, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest is Kevin McDonald, who's been instrumental in putting together this video, Sheltering in Place. Well, Kevin, is there an increased interest in this sort of thing? Certainly, in all the years I've been involved, I've never had more of a feeling that there was a real imminence of some terrible things happening in America, especially as I see and I read about how, of course, they're placing all sorts of very sophisticated and lethal weapons onto our aircraft carriers there in the Persian Gulf, bringing the weapons in as fast as they can in preparation for an imminent attack on Iran. And I hope and pray that it doesn't take place, and yet everything we read and everything we hear from usually reliable sources suggests it's only a rather short period of time before we do have a direct attack on Iran. And if you think out there in the listening audience, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to be able to attack other nations without having, you know, retaliation on America, I think you're sadly mistaken. And I really believe there is an organized effort to actually get America into the war with the entire Islamic world and to carry out this clash of civilizations. But remember, when it happens, we're going to be all alone. Great Britain's pulling out of Iraq, and they're trying to get their troops out of Afghanistan. Most of the other nations have pulled their troops out. And if we go into Iran, America will be all alone. And we will manage to antagonize all of the rest of the world. This is the frightening thing. So let's go ahead, and we've got Jack calling from Michigan. Jack, do you have a question?
I do, Dr. Stan, but first a comment. I think perhaps, according to a secular physicist called James McCanney, that the 05 hurricane events were manufactured events. He got evidence. And it sounds almost like, Dr. Stan, it was some sort of a payback for supporters of the Bush family. And
We really don't know, though. It's all speculation.
It's speculation.
Okay, fine. Does you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, okay. Wondering whether the iodate or the iodorol would be a good choice prophylactically.
All right, I'm going to... We'll get our guest to ask that. Should we have the potassium iodate or certainly the iodorol, which is a... A potassium iodide and iodate compound. So, hey, I'm going to let you go because we're getting a feedback from your computer or something there. Thanks very much, Jack. Okay. Did you get the question there, Kevin?
I had a hard time hearing what he was
basically
asking.
Was he saying, should you have the potassium iodate, or there's a product called iodorol, which is a combination of potassium iodide and Lucol solution.
He's talking about the iodide crystals.
Right.
The iodide crystals are great. If you know the source for that, that's terrific. They're soluble. They get into your system a lot quicker. But the truth is that all of the above are going to work very, very well.
And basically what you want to do is load your thyroid up with iodine so that, of course, the radioactive iodine won't be able to get in. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right, let's go to Jeannie, who's calling in from Aptos. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing?
And Kevin was so right talking about if you're not prepared psychologically, and this is what I believe they really want us to not be prepared psychologically when emergency does happen. And it's so important what Kevin is talking about this evening. But we were talking about the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA, and it always has, I always wondered why we created the Department of Homeland Security when we had FEMA. I've done research on this, Dr. Stan, and the SS, the elite corps of Hitler, stood for Schutzstaffel, and it's German for Schutz is protection, and Staffel is the Homeland Squadron. And so my concern is this a forerunner of the SS, like in Hitler's days? Why did they create Department of Homeland Security is my question.
All right. Do you have any thoughts on that, Kevin?
Well, actually, I do. It is peculiar. I did notice that myself. One of my experiences in all of this has been pretty much that
you know, if you assume that there is nobody that is acting duplicitous there, then you're foolish. I mean, because there are men there and women who have agendas that have nothing to do with us. It's about power and gain. And but to be fair too, because I think the Lord expects us from us, you know, we need to also realize that there are some good people there. But the truth is that FEMA was never set up as a to deal with a crisis like a hurricane. FEMA is basically established to deal with like a nuclear strike on America. All of their equipment, all of their resources were set up to that end, and as well as the structure that was set up. In fact, one of the things that really concerned me about FEMA at that point was before Homeland Security came into place, was that FEMA was set up basically as a substitute government, and it pretty much cut Congress out. Which I thought was really interesting. I mean, Congress was not even in the flow charts that I looked through, and any of the documents that I went through, it pretty much just cut them right out, and you know, under a state of martial law, you know, when they went into effect. When they responded to the hurricane, I think it was Hurricane Andrew, when they brought in the requested radio equipment that people needed, it was these specialized trucks that are designed to call in strikes. You know, nobody knew how to even use the equipment that they brought in. You know, it was actually individuals like you and I who went in and fixed the problem, along with a few corporations. So there, you know, I won't deny that there's something dark and stinky that goes on there, but I'm always hesitant to try to second guess it, because usually I'm wrong when I do.
Now,
I think the smart, yes.
I've gone through two hurricanes. 10 years ago in Kauai, Iniki,
yeah.
And we have a huge military base on Kauai on the west side, a submarine base. And for 3 days we didn't hear a peep from the huge military base. 2 days after Iniki came, the only people that came, which we really loved, was the National Guard from the Big Island of Hawaii. And I also went through down in Central America, Mitch, and I was living in a valley, and I was cut off by floods going across the road. But there again, I was prepared to have supplies and water and food and so forth. But we had it in place, especially in Kauai, where the National Guard came in with supplies, with big military airplanes, and we had food lines and everything. It was wonderful. So I wonder, and we have to watch what the Department of Homeland Security is all about.
Well, I think that's a very good point.
That's the National Guard.
And the trouble is, our National Guard, most of it's over fighting in Iraq, fighting for freedom over there, fighting for democracy.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeannie. I would just point out that if you study the background behind the Nazi movement, there were powerful spiritual forces. In fact, Hitler was deeply involved in the occult. His chief theoretician, a man named Haushofer, was deeply involved in the occult. And, of course, this spread right over into the SS and Hitler, and, of course, this whole the SS there. Secret police was basically there. Sort of a brotherhood, a dark brotherhood that they dated back to Valhalla and these ancient German gods. Well, we have the similar occult forces in America today. People do not recognize their presence. But they all are here. There are secret societies that you can trace back literally hundreds, if not thousands, of years. And they're working many times at the highest levels of our society. And that's why you really need to see the DVD, the award-winning DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone. So And I don't know whether that answers Jeannie's question at all, but I am concerned any time when you have this centralization of power with government organizations. This was the last thing our federal government wanted. Matters dealing with life, liberty, and property, and the security of the individual were to be left to the states, so we would never have the ability of the federal government to establish a totalitarian form of government. Read the 35th of the Federalist Papers, where it tells us that the power of the central government is limited and defined, and the power of the state governments is unlimited and ill-defined, and matters dealing with life, liberty, and property would always be left to the states. Well, our guest this evening has been Kevin MacDonald. And Kevin, hang on there just a minute. But I hope you out there in the listening audience have listened to what he said, and I hope you've learned from what he said. Well, Kevin, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Wow, what do you say in 3 minutes? You know, use a positive approach to this. Be hopeful. When you talk with your friends and your neighbors, don't be negative. It's really important because they're average people just like you and I, and they're struggling and trying to figure out things. If we can help them to see that there's a positive solution to all of this, because most of them, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of friends now who are telling me that they feel something, that they sense that something is wrong. If you can just use a positive approach to this and try not to scare them to death, because that's easy to do, I've done it myself, and then get them to watch the sheltering in place video, you can get your neighbors, your friends, the people that are closest to you, you can get them prepared. If they watch it, I promise you, most of the people, it will change their minds about things. And that's what you need to do. And then you get your neighborhood involved, and you get your friends involved, the people that you love and that are close to you, and you're doing God's work. You're helping people. You're protecting people. You're saving their lives.
And
other than that, it's the best I can say.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right, Kevin. And I want to congratulate you and Wayne LePere and the others who are involved in putting together your video. I think it's an important adjunct to really the message that we want to get out, and that is make your preparations. It's up to you to look after yourself and your family, and just hope and pray that you are going to be able to come through this, but you're going to be so much better off than the people who have no idea what's coming down the line, who will be terrified at the thought of a nuclear attack on America. And they would say, well, it couldn't happen here. You know, where is the government going? Why isn't the government coming? Where is the help that's supposed to be coming? And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there may not be any help at all. You have to be responsible. At one time, Americans were resourceful people. They looked after themselves. And they didn't look to others to take care of themselves. They looked after themselves, and then they were able to help others. But the first of all is you have to make preparations. You have to understand what we're up against, and of course the information we have that Kevin makes available, and the Doctors for Disaster Preparedness and TACTA and a few of the other organizations make available is so vitally important that we have access to. Well, Kevin, I want to thank you so very much for being with us and for your dedication to helping us get the truth out.
Thank you, Stan. Anytime you need me to help you at all, you just ask away.
All right. God bless.
Thank you, sir.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Kevin MacDonald. Now, his video is called Sheltering in Place, and we think he's done an excellent job with that, and it's available. If you'd like more information, why, you can call 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, there is a book. It actually was originally put out by the government, it was called Surviving Nuclear Warfare Survival Skills. Nuclear War Survival Skills. And it tells you there how to make a radiation meter. And actually, there's a kit for that, and you really need the a book on nuclear war survival skills. And then if you want to get the kit, we actually make a radiation meter. Why, everything's there that you need, other than an aluminum can of some sort. But you can, of course, get these expensive radiation meters, or you can get the kit for just a few dollars. And, of course, if you're interested in it, you need the book, A Nuclear War Survival Skills. Tells you how to put it together, and then, of course, you need the kit, and you'll have everything you need right there. It's a good idea to have it, to know how to put it together, to understand how it works and how to make it work, and then have it available. And then, of course, we carry the book, Making the Best of Basics. That's Making the Best of Basics. What do you do if you don't have the ability to go down to the store and buy food? What do you do if you have wheat? What do you do if you have rice? How do you live without all of the wonderful things we're so used to? And then we have another book called Inside the Red Zone. It was written by a Soviet officer who was trained in chemical and biological and warfare, and of course it's got a great list in the back of all the things that you need to have on hand, just so you and your family will be secure. So again, that's the video, Shelter in Place, the book, Nuclear War Survival Skills, and then of course when you get that, and if you'd like to, you can get the kit that tells you how to actually build a radiation meter. Everything you'll have is there, except you need an aluminum can, a beer can, a Coke can, and then the book, Making the Best of Basics, and then Inside the Red Zone. These are all things that you need to think about. We may be a matter of a few months, or maybe even a matter of a few weeks, from an attack on Iran. I don't know. I don't have any inside information, but I have people that I trust who tell me that the preparations are being made. And if you don't make preparations, and this does come down, you will have nobody to blame. Let me remind you, of course, we are having our annual Radio Liberty Seminar. It's going to be held on the 28th of October at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. It's an all-day seminar. If you're coming from other parts of the country, why, you're going to have to call sometime in the next few weeks to get your hotel reservations. We have the hotel reservations until the 28th of September, at which time, of course, the rooms become much more expensive. But, of course, if you call now, you can get your reservations. We'll get to the directions and tell you where to call. The conference is all day long on the 28th. We've got some great speakers lined up. And, as always, we're going to have a great time. That's the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here on the North Shore of Monterey Bay, and people ordinarily come from all over the country. We had about 125 people last year. We're hoping for 150 this year. So if you're interested in coming, you're going to have reservations. We're serving lunch. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Great lineup of speakers. Dr. Garth Nicholson will be there. Carol Matriciana, Ron Brown, Michael Shaw, and, we think that you really will learn so much, and you'll be able to get the information there, information you're going to need for times like this. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.